Thank you, Steve. Appreciate everybody coming here. This is a little bit of a new area or talk for me. We're going to be talking about energy. A little bit about bioenergy, but also about a feed value energy as well, both of those related to nitrogen management. Peter, who just left the room, and Newell Kitchen David Clay asked me to write a chapter on this, and we're working on that right now, and me putting some cotton input into that. And so basically, everybody is familiar, there is a lot of interest in energy, energy balances. Of course, biofuel production is down here, but I'm talking about a ratio, for instance, output to input, how much energy you're getting out of your systems. For instance, with the corn ethanol boom, there's some debate. Some people say you're getting net energy making ethanol from corn, including, you know, the high-end inputs. Others say, well, it's marginal. So there's that interest. There's LCA, I'll talk a little bit about, is life cycle analysis. Again, I'm just going to focus on nitrogen, but with life cycle, that's the whole kit and caboodle, you know, your tillage, your herbicides, everything, the production costs of your herbicides and fertilizer from the beginning to the end. And I'll tell you, Cotton Incorporated has funded work with the ag economists in Arkansas, very good work. If you haven't seen that, and the cotton doesn't look very pretty, it does tend to be negative on the life cycle carbon analysis. And we're in West Texas in the arid region of the Cotton Belt where we irrigate, and irrigated cotton is about the worst for LCA. Carbon footprint, everybody's familiar with that. Greenhouse gas forcing goes into this. Now, nitrogen, a lot of us are fertility specialists in here and work, you know, with potassium and phosphorus, but a lot of us focus on nitrogen being the biggest input. But in terms of energy, because of the Haber-Bosch process of splitting atmospheric diatomic nitrogen under heat and pressure in the presence of a catalyst, it becomes a very big energy input into our production systems. Site-specific management is something that a lot of us have been working on with either grid, variable rate, and or sensors. But what we wanted to do was try to put this together, and with the collaboration with Peter Scarf up here in Newell Kitchen for corn. And so with site-specific management, some of the data that Audie was just showing before the break, many of our objectives there was reflectance strategies is to save nitrogen use and either not hurt yields or lift your yields. Environmentally speaking, everybody's interested, especially in the eastern half of the country, of the Cotton Belt, of reducing nutrient export. We're always interested in saving the producer's money. But to date, we're not sure that anybody has looked at site-specific nutrient management as well as the energy picture. So our objectives of this study, this talk I'm going to give you this morning, is to see if site-specific N management, and we're going to look at two case studies. We're going to look at grid soil sampling and variable rate based on grid, and then and that's for a center pivot, and canopy reflectance base N management, how we can improve the return to nitrogen. So what we're concerned with is the energy return to nitrogen, just like we talk a lot about, did we get a response to nitrogen at all? We're going to look at the energy return. The two sites are La Mesa, Texas. It's about 60 miles south of Lubbock on a sandy loam soil, and we have a center pivot there where we did grid soil sampling. This is published in the Agronomy Journal, and this data is yet to be published and on a drip field in Lubbock with reflectance base. Now, what are the outputs? The outputs, cottonseed oil can be used for biodiesel, but it also has feed value, so we're actually going to look at both. Now, burrs, people say about burrs and trash, yeah, certainly there is a very important output, but it won't be considered in this study. We're going to focus on the seed. And here, just briefly, I won't spend a lot of time on this. We did 3 years on a good part of a center pivot in La Mesa, Texas. This is the 2-foot nitrate, as Adi spoke about on his talk. We use this as a basis of our N algorithm. Here in the white is a low nitrate, green, dark blue is higher. This is an as-applied map with variable zero and blanket nitrogen. We have water treatments, which I'll ignore today and just average across. And this is a yield map over here. This is the variable rate fertilizer rig we're using, and Randy Taylor gave a good talk on equipment yesterday. We originally used Falcon AgriChem Soltech equipment, and when it broke down after 10 years, we're now using Dickey John. I'm very happy with it. And then here's the sensors, which we're all familiar with. This is a picture of the drip field. You can see some treatment differences. 40 inches, this canopy still tends to close. Here's a very good slide I got from a University of Florida internet bulletin. And this tells you the energy you needed to produce the different fertilizer sources, from anhydrous to UAN, liquid urea ammonium nitrate, in BTUs per pound. And you can see that for the highest analysis, urea at it ranges from 24 to 30. Okay, so now let's first talk about this study, grid soil sampling and the variable rates. You can see these some of the plots there. So this over here, we have our treatments, a blanket, a variable, and a zero. Similar to the talk Adi gave, we have a column where we show you how much N was applied. The variable is an average. The range in this number is probably from 20 to 120. The average variable rate here is 72. And the blanket has a range too, but it's only 1 or 2 pounds per acre. This is the seed yields. We won't show lint yields for this purpose. No response this year. We do have some response in fat. Fat is ether extractable, which should be pretty much what you would make biodiesel out of with a transesterification, although they'd probably use hexane instead of ether to extract it. And then the protein, of course, is just nitrogen. And the gross energy, we also consider, we're considering fat, we're considering protein, and we're also considering total digestible nutrients to get a total feed value. That's what these numbers come from. This is the energy from the fertilizer, from the table I showed you earlier. And so the net energy on return to N is this final column. And you can see that zero nitrogen gives you the best energy return. We're losing net energy here, but we did not get a nitrogen response. Second year of the study, the nitrogen, by the way, those values are similar. These values are similar too. Obviously, the blanket and zero is 105 versus 100, very similar. Still not getting the nitrogen response in seed there, although we are getting it in protein. So in terms of net energy, a similar picture. In this site year, you lose energy if you add fertilizer. The third year of the study, getting a nitrogen response, you can see here in seed yield, still not saving nitrogen with variable rate N. Still, well, we saved a little bit, but not a lot. In the first 2 years, we saved none. So that's pretty similar, you could say. But net energy, now the picture's looking a little bit better with the variable, but still not very good. So under this system with center pivot and grid soil sampling, here's all the data averaged 3 years. You can see on average, we're getting the seed yield response, getting a protein response, not a fat response, but we're losing energy. Let's look at the drip. This is gonna be a different story here. Here, first of all, the two differences are that we get higher yields than in the pivot. Related to that is we're saving more nitrogen with the reflectance-based strategy, as Adi showed in the previous talk. And so we're using less N with variable rate and reflectance-based, and we're also getting a larger delta yield or yield response to N. And the energy here, though, is still coming pretty even. But as we move on to the second and third year, here we've saved about 30% of the N, getting a nitrogen response, no N difference between the two treatments, so it's just a savings of N. Energy, though, now we're creating net energy in our cotton production compared to no nitrogen fertilizer at all. Same thing in the third year. He showed you we put out a very small amount of N. This was the initial N. The sensors told us never to don't put any more N. The NDVI did not differ. So we got this yield with this small amount of N injected, although there was also about 20 pounds of nitrogen as a 10-30-4-0 starter, but we're focusing in on the treatments here. And here we can see that reflectance-based did better than the blanket in terms of net energy return. Look at the combined analysis for the drip irrigation for the 3 years. This is how much N we applied on average. This is the seed yields, energy from the fertilizer. I forgot to point out that we're not considering nitrogen transport either. It's just nitrogen energy and fertilizer is the production cost. But the best I can tell is 90% of the action there is in the production. The transport's only about 10%. And over here, we got a nice result on a combined analysis of drip irrigation with net energy return to fertilizer. The highest is with the reflectance base, significantly higher with our regular regional soil test-based algorithm compared to the zero. So to conclude, to wrap this up, on the moderate yielding center pivot, at La Mesa, N fertilizer resulted in negative energy gains to fertilizer. And the reason was small delta yields. I think most of us are familiar with that term. Yield response of only about 10% combined with relatively high N rates that weren't reduced with the variable rate approach. On the other hand, our drip irrigation was high yielding. We're consistently getting 3 bales. It gives a positive net energy return to nitrogen. We're getting high delta yields, and we're getting about 30% N savings with this approach compared to the soil test to give you the high N energy. And that's all I have for now. We're Peter and Noel Kitchen and I are preparing a chapter on energy and nitrogen for CRC Press, is it? And Peter and Noel are working on corn case studies, and mine will be the cotton. Do you have any questions? Sure, I got time. No. Jack.
Kevin, did you consider the energy required to apply the fertilizer?
No. But, of course, it would be the same on these two treatments because we're using the rig for the one and injecting for the drip. But you're with comparing with zero.
I know it would be small, but you're carrying more liquid across the field.
Well, certainly that's a good point when we're comparing fertilized versus unfertilized. So that might be something we need to consider. Thanks.
Another question?
Wow.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you.